This issue is for the committee and the annual the budget carried review and recommendation report. And the reason we have invited some of our transport agencies is because there were those that were raising their red flag that said, if this is not done, we are thinking. And we got to that end because we have time constraints in relation to the analysis that is supposed to be done by the researcher. Like we have now the analysis of the department in which it helps us to draft the report that is going to be discussed today. Then we thought we needed to bring those entities that had been arrested so that during this process they would then remind us and comment on the issues that they would want us to include in the report to influence the budget. That is the reason. Those that did not raise a red flag, the issue today of ensuring that their programs are related to policy positions and delivery priorities of this government will be engaged at the next update in February when we all engage in strategic planning. But for now, we want to just focus on the entities that how we are going to handle this. We are going to start to the first 30 minutes reading the draft report. And then after that, we are going to discuss this draft report. And then move to in information that has to go into the report with a specific focus on each entity so that our report then covers those entities that are supposed to be covered in the report. That is the approach we are going to be taking. We are expected to fit this report in for taking today in the afternoon. We are depending on English the mere research and the economic section to enable us to do that because tomorrow then this report will be adopted in the house. So the first 30 minutes is to go through the report so that we all get an understanding of what is expected of us representing the entities and the component committee in as far as getting the information institute report. We are beaten by time constraints, that's why we are taking them through. And we also appreciate the fact that you were taking a short notice and you are also thank you very much for your cooperation.
changes the is it one report from the other? Because I've prepared for this meeting based on the email that I see. So is it completely different? It's very similar.
We take this opportunity to welcome everybody in this meeting. We are expected today to adopt a budgetary review recommendation and recommendation report for tabling in Parliament this afternoon and then adoption by Parliament tomorrow. It's a new process. We are all in a learning curve. We thought that it was important to invite firstly the department and also those entities that had raised a red flag during the annual report here that we held last week on Thursday and Friday. The reason for that is that the analysis that we have done was mainly on the due time constraints, was mainly on the department. And we would want then today to also give the opportunity to those entities that have raised their respect so that we can incorporate in this report issues that are affecting them. And if they are left unattended to, they will then cause serious problems. We also know that in the analysis, in this report, there are also issues that the department, issues also of priority in terms of service delivery. Like on page 7, right on top, we see that for the road infrastructure and public fund, road infrastructure maintenance fund, road infrastructure protection, through over load control, high speed rate, comprehensive plan, and audit on the state of South African railway infrastructure. That is very key. But then, if you look at what has happened in as far as we continue to believe that although the center of reference for the road infrastructure recovery plan in drafted, the project did not proceed due to the unavailability of funds. So we would then want that issue to be addressed so that we could be able to continue with this plan and make a recommendation that would facilitate the situation of having funds being made available. The same holds true for the road infrastructure maintenance fund. We are all crying about roads that are degraded, potholes, roads that are not rehabilitation, but there is no funding allocated for road maintenance. The road infrastructure protection through overloading control, the high speed comprehension plan, as well as the audit of the state of the South African railway infrastructure again. Although these are strategic plans that would assist us to improve our road network and our rail network, if then we don't have funding allocated to them, that will remain musical record or NCD that keep on playing one and the same thing and repeating it. If you're ready, then. So, we want to address those things. But also because we are public representatives, we want to look at to what extent can the Department of Transport and the entity of transport respond and align their strategic plans and expenditure to the service delivery priorities of the current government. A new government came into power last year, 2009, and it had very clear service delivery priorities. And our responsibility is then to ensure that all the programs, the strategic plans, are talking to those priorities. If we look at issues of rural public transport network plan, and we only see 1.5 lines, which speaks to a transport network plan that was kind of very get butterfly. Here is a department that is sabotaging the federal government of ensuring that the local development is good. So we want to think on those issues to ensure that we are on the same wavelength. We don't make policies out there that then make voters to choose the best elections in the United. But when the elected party by voters assumes power, the election manifesto that enables that government to be in power and then go in the dustbin and even the community and the usual entities. There was no promise that was made and there were no priorities service delivery that were made to the center. Because it would mean that the politicians are speaking a different language from the language that is spoken by the departments that are supposed to implement what the voters are waiting for. What here is, if it was that people share that it is the Wakilumu, we on the basis of the Wakilumu, then what can you say for I saw Wakilumu? We are open to the meeting. We listen 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 to the meeting. We need to be clear on that. I get who don't know what that meant ever to be done by Muto. So, what was promised to the voters is what we need to give to the voters. The department is about that. And Gulet report again, there is nothing that talks about roads to schools and cities. Yet, the priorities, the service delivery area, the government, is education and health. And Tina, it's not about education and health, it's to provide the infrastructure that will make it easy for the teacher and the child to go to school, to reach the school. The same would apply to the department that is responsible for providing water and sanitation. If the government prioritizes education and health, and then the department that is responsible for providing the sanitation and water doesn't do that, it means their department is sabotaging the government. Because if children in school are unable to go to the toilet, finally by and it's kind of sitting up with our home, Goban, the Department of Family Planning Toilet, the student is in Family Toilet. So that is the approach there. So Christmas is over. Again, imagine to some of our Ukela meeting. Money was allocated and money was expended. We are looking at money was allocated to provide a particular service. Has that service been provided? And also, government came into power because it had promised people certain things. are the problems of department and transport entities speaking to those problems. That is what we are here about today. So we are going then to start with the analysis here, to comment on the analysis here, the report, the department. I'm sure we see Ujikin and Sandra will not be a happy man when he goes to bed in terms of this, this report, that a number of gray areas have been found. Although the department has received a clean audit, but if you look at that clean audit and you go deeper into it, you'll find it, and there are things that you would not be happy about, and this is what we are here about today. After we have done that, or during that process, we would also be trying to link those issues that are highlighted here in this report to entities that those issues relate to. Let me make an example. On page 6, the second last paragraph, training of seafarers. The training of 120 seafarers for economic and capacity building, capacity development intended to make South Africa a seafaring nation by 2014 was not done due to the lack of financial resources. By the same token, the training of women, youth, and people with disabilities on maritime new venture creation, small, medium, and macro enterprises, development, did not take place. If you look at this and then relate it to job creation and poverty reduction, it is, as we are saying, with our community, we find it very difficult to see that problem is not simply. But if you link this to the SAMHSA report, which talks about a shortage of 450,000 seafarers, then you begin to see the in-depth of the problem. Had we focused on this, we would then be moving towards the development of skills in the country that are job creation related and poverty reduction related. We would even go to the length of training. Which areas are we going to target for recruitment? And if we understand why there was a pronouncement and identification of poor areas and even went to an extent of saying those are presidential poverty not at all, we would then find it befitting to link that identification of presidential poverty not at point with the recruitment of the 250,000, with the problem that would result with us having the 250,000 required this era. And also, if we were to link that with the indigent registers of the municipalities and see which municipalities have got larger indigent registers, meaning that citizens in those municipalities are not able to pay for the services that are provided by government. Any government provides the service, but it can put subsidize the payment of those services. We would then find it necessary to try and develop the skills in those areas so that we could relieve the government from providing our services that consumers of those services are not able to pay for because of the unaffordability. So that is the kind of thinking that this government is trying to develop within the our government department as well as our entities that have the responsibility of providing certain services. Then when it comes to the entities, the same would apply. You see, if CASA says, when you are saying to us we must send money rehabilitating trains, don't then come back and ask us to say to us we have wasted money and had a fruitless expenditure. If 5 years down the line, the very same rehabilitated train cannot perform the services that are expected of them to perform, because you shall have, as lawmakers, failed to provide an intervention that would have enabled us not to rehabilitate, but we can buy new trains. And if we buy new trains that are of high speed, it means that they have also to be an expenditure allocated, fund allocated for the rehabilitation and upgrading of the existing infrastructure. That is the approach. In the same token, Nazir is saying to us, if you don't answer the problem of infrastructure and the fact that 80% of freight is moved by the road in this country, when the road network is degrading and more accidents are happening because there is an overburdening of the road infrastructure, don't come back to us at the end of the day and say, we didn't tell you that you need to move freight from the road so that we can then be able to maintain the road infrastructure that is not degrading fast and also provide the new infrastructure. If you don't take those decisions and put in place policies that would enable us to send in that way, don't come back to us and say, we are not doing our work. In the same token, the road accident fund is saying, if you don't respond to the issues of infrastructure in this country, and also you don't address the issues of how we are funded, the underfunding, on the first issue of the infrastructure, don't come back to us and say, we are overspending, there's a lot of money that goes to compensating our victims, our accidents, when we have actually indicated that part of what is causing the accident is how our transport infrastructure is in this country. So they are saying those things. The same to the independent force regulator, say, you gave us a mandate, you have allocated less funding to enable us to fulfill that mandate. If in 5 years down the line you find us not having fulfilled our mandate, don't come back to us and ask us why we can't fulfill our mandate, because the problem is with the funding. You gave us a mandate, but you didn't give us the funds that would enable us to carry that mandate. That's why we are here today. And those entities that we have not invited, we would remember what they said and put those things in the recommendation. But again, in February, we will have to spend at least 3 days under one roof to ensure that we are able to find each other in this new approach and develop our strategic plans that are speaking to each other in terms of complementary rules, but also in terms of addressing the service delivery priorities of this country. That is the approach. And the last thing is that also in this recommendation, if we are to really respond to the root causes of the COVID, we should also be looking at what needs to be done to correct the institutional arrangement of transport. That is partly contributing to the problem that we have if we take to the issues that are related to transmission and cargo. I will now open an opportunity for members to comment on the report. And if you are commenting on the report, you can then indicate the page on which you are speaking.
In reading it, trying to identify the recommendation to insert it. And then secondly, also to clarify certain questions, and it's quite substantial. So I don't want to hog all the questions and all the time. I don't know how you want to deal with it. There's quite a lot to say.
Today we are not going to be asking questions to the department because this is our report. It assists us to make a recommendation, but also we can add, like I have been saying, let us make an example of the bicycle program, where it is indicated that the department had pledged to distribute 15,000 bicycles, but they ended up distributing 13,500. It keeps them remaining 1,500. But that is not the only issue. The program does not address the issues of local job creation and local economic development. It also is a program that can be related to the cooperative development program. In the den of making it a question, we would make it a recommendation that we are recommending that the implementation of this program in the new financial year takes into consideration the issue of joblessness in the country and also the fact that we have a Cooperative Development Act in this country. And this program could actually be implemented along these lines to facilitate the cooperative development in the areas, particularly the rural areas, because the program is targeting the rural, mainly the rural areas. And also, it links to manufacturing at local level. You could establish cooperatives, you could establish a number of manufacturing, small manufacturing plants, and also have an assembly plant. You could also develop other job creation in terms of training. We were in the University of Sudan and working with the minister was handing over some of the faculty, and only one of the children that have received. I think they were 100 students with the bicycle. They could not. That is a job creation to actually appoint people that can teach those children who have been given bicycles how to ride the bicycle. It's a job creation approach. You could also open a bicycle repair center to ensure that those bicycles are repaired. But you could develop entire solution because some of the parts that are produced to make those bicycles are made by the raw material that comes from mining. If the mining is a good country, I rubber, the Wakamatai, Ila, Egan, Nakamoro, African continent, rubber tuber in Ghana. So that is the thinking we are trying to create. I think I have answered the honorable question. Recommendation more than question.
No, I think I've got a lot of recommendations, if I may. Going through the report, there's some minor grammatical mistakes which I can deal with privately with the mayor. And then, if I look at, I'm looking at the old report that was emailed to us. I'm trying to just match it up with the report that was coming today. But if you look at point three, which says whistleblowing policy and anti-fraud, which is the page five in the new report. It talks about how the policy was not presented and so forth. There actually should be a resolution that we put in the resolution so that we can then track it that it does take place. In that same paragraph, it also talks about the anti-fraud policy, proposing that to be the second resolution. And the next item, the next heading, procurement policy and process manual. It talks about the policy. That would be the third resolution. The next heading, terms of reference for rail policy. That would be the next resolution, resolution four. But rapid bus transit policy. That would be resolution five. The next page, which is study recommendations on regulating driving hours and resting periods, which is page 6. I would recommend that to be resolution 6. I can always assist with the mayor and work out wording and so forth, so I just wanted to say that for the committee. The next heading, training material to enhance the skills of learners and professional drivers. It talks how that can take place, resolution 7. The next one, training of seafarers, will be resolution 8. The next heading, which is booklets on the National Land Transport Act, resolution 9. The next heading, the long heading, road infrastructure recovery plan, etc., listing all these various plans and reports, resolution 10. Rural public transport network plan, resolution 11. And then further down, the National Freight Master Plan. Oh, sorry, let me go on that question. The Air Freight Strategy, Resolution 12. Commuter link, rail link to Cape Town International Airport, Resolution 13. Extension of the commuter rail line from Greenview to Christchurch, Resolution 14. Appointment of an expert to manage conditional grants, 15. Appointment of the PMO, Resolution 16. Development of signing service level agreements for RTMC, Resolution 17. And then under the heading Analysis of the Department's Annual Report of Financial Statements, subheading Administration, the last sentence talks about the department does not necessarily make use of the medium term expenditure framework, etc. I would put that as Resolution 18. It does take place next time. And then under the heading, the heading 4.4, integrated planning and interfere coordination, halfway down that paragraph it talks about the public transport infrastructure systems grants allocated to total, but only a certain amount of spent financial year, that would also be spent. Oh, sorry, that's the question. I think it's part of the question. Further down in the same paragraph, it talks about part of the underspend was resolved to transfer to the federal, which were not made, that you may make another resolution, so it is made, and next heading, transport, logistics, and cargo development, so I'll get to understand the teaching base of credible service providers. There will be another resolution. Under heading 4.6, public transport, halfway through, talks about National Treasury. I'm just trying to find it here. This is a bus subsidy issue, and that doesn't reoccur again in the future. Under 4.7, public entity oversight and border operations and control, talks about the electronic performance management system and road accident fund restructuring projects. So that be another resolution that takes place. And the next sentence talks about the CSA, that be another resolution. Under the next heading, analysis of Department's annual report and financial statement. The second bullet point, irregular expenditure of 951, as a result of procurement procedures. Proposing a resolution there with regards to procurement procedures. And the next bullet point, frequency of waste expenditure, so that also be another resolution. Then at the bottom of the under heading 6, consideration report of Committee on Public Accounts, at the end of the paragraph, then talks about appropriate measures required to ensure accurate and proper financial and program planning, that be a resolution. Then, Chair, on there's two items that I've seen that are not included according to my notes anyway, and based on the hearing, were two payments pertaining to the CAA. And I don't have the details in front of me, and I can get them after the meeting. But I think that should also be a resolution. Thank you for indulgence, Chair.
And after that, then we come up with a recommendation, looking at the programs of the department. Programs related, looking at the mandate of the department. That the mandate of the department provides everything reliable and affordable transport. Is the department able to do that? If not, what is the remedy? What is it that you're proposing maybe to treasure? That maybe there should be some additional funding that should enable the department to execute its money. I thought that you look at all the programs and just see what are the reasons for the department not to achieve their objectives. If the reasons are due to financial constraints, then we recommend that no. This program is still at the COVID, that this program is temporarily looked at. The department is failing to achieve its target due to the lack of funding. It's not able to repair the that. So, my name is Adelaide. I'm from Adelaide. I didn't even let it to me. Oh, they came. This is why I'm in Adelaide. What is causation system of existing approach or the patterns in the recommended by in order to confirm that? Maybe like an approach. So almost the approach in the first day was one of the first steps to have done that because we now have explained the approach. And if you have a problem with the approach, click on the approach. And if you have a problem, what is being said by owner of the time? Say so.
In a problem, another recommendation is shared with the owner. Well, on the second slide, recommendation number one. Recommendation number two, based on the report that you are having. So that is what I'm saying next day. That is based on what you're saying, and also the.
The problem we have with you is that we have to ask the class and we have to tell it to the main guy. I think I can go to the problem. When I enter the end of the oil sand, when I look at what you put the sub on our way, the way you see the two problems. I have given an approach, and it is a very clear approach. We discussed it even in our study group, and Friday I advised members to go to their caucuses and come here having reflected on what was presented to them. When you said go to respond, the picture shows the first time. You shouldn't go have in when you put the third way, what are you doing? So, you should have my recommendations when no one shows, because I correct in terms of the ANC approach. You are not lost. Look up short, you're going to correct me. I need to know report some work. It is analyzed, although you were not there, but you are catching on very, very well. The report is analyzed. When all that you need to be saying is that it. On the issue of erase policy, this is what has been said in this report. And what we are observing as this portfolio, exactly what you have been saying. If the observation is understanding, say so. On the report, the observation is understanding. And the recommendation that goes in that is this recommendation. On point number three, so we are observing a shifting of demand. And as a result of that, would focus on underperformance on this particular program, resulting with us not achieving this particular strategic objective. And the recommendation is therefore that this is what we do. Yes, so go again, most of the company in that is a good thing. Okay.
Whether it's a financial fund or any fund, it's transferred to the fund.
because they don't have a comprehensive, so that the department can have a co-complaint and be able to spend the funds accordingly. And when looking with like a same page 10, the overspending, which will I'm a fast person. I think my recommendation is that this mechanism should be considered. It means that if the country is not properly funded on this fast person, then the issue of overspending will keep on coming and every time there's an overspending. Each and every time there will be overspending, if maybe there's insufficient funds. Then the other one is on the issue of the I think the overspending again page 9 about public transport. Then again, the understanding that the public transport is currently developing. The reason being stated that the transport is in the matter with providers for the project that has been mentioned, of which is a concern. Integrated planning and interfere condition. I think this is a grant of the the way we can see what is the overall
some instances of constituent policies that are very common in staff. So it's not just an assignment, but an effect that officers can be able to execute their decisions. They are explaining of the people when looking at their own faces and showing the facts of their treatment. If that is the case, the people should have the recommendation that the certain amount of money to be allocated so that they can have a people. And that's one of the training for learners and professional on that one of the admission of the security conference, it's a different case, but it was a matter. I'm not sure whether, because people in the United States, money was there, were not told whether money was insufficient, or were not there, or what. So it's difficult for us to make a recommendation on that, but we want to make sure that it's not. Thank you.
There is a report that Honorable Mabila Munya said about the consulting for the record. So, our committee secretary has made some information to the consulting and she has asked if the Honorable Member of the Secretary of the
Chairperson, I've said that when looking at the report, it says there was an over expenditure of 253.3 million. The over expenditure, which was due to the payment. But what I've said is that when looking at this report, there's an indication that we need to allocate sufficient funds for faster food. Because if this program is underfunded, means that each and every day, the AG will, on the method of effort, this might not keep on coming, that there is overexpenditure because it means that insufficient funds have not been allocated. Sufficient funds have not been allocated for the changes of faster food. Why we know very well that. People have talked about this several times. Right? In most cases, since the bus station is accommodated only from Evan. So, for this bus station to benefit people in rural areas, I think we need to sufficient money.
One on the issue of bus subsidies is on the issue of the alignment of the bus subsidies with the chart of the government. Okay. I'm about to say subsidies as much as you could to provide that is not free, but I'm a contractor with the department. I have over 9 hours not been coming in. I'm making myself clear now. And also, is there a way of opening for a broad-based economic empowerment organization? Because if the government is spending 14 billion on bus subsidies. We should also be able to measure the implementation and the alignment of that expenditure to the broad-based black economic empowerment policy of this country, as well as the DEP policy of this country, so that we can begin to transform the economy. So the recommendation that I would want us to effect is that added to that has been said by Honorable Mabila is that we align the expenditure on that subsidy with the Black Economic Empowerment Policy and the broad-based Black Economic Empowerment Policy of this country, so that we can show that expenditure of government transform the economy in favor of those that were previously disadvantaged by the apartheid set up of the economy. Think about it, pen and the expenditure, but people will be able to see that this expenditure, the 14 billion, assist us to develop the underdeveloped and ensure that we are then able to transform the economy and open opportunities for broad-based Black economic empowerment participation as well as Black economic empowerment participation. There's a difference between the BEE and the BBBEE. The BEE will have a few capitalists, Black capitalists. For broad-based Black economic empowerment is the working class, the grassroots participation in the mainstream of the economy. We love it for the rent. That's what it is.
Well, thank you, Chair. Maybe let me start with the organizational issues that to contribute in terms of our what we propose as the conversation. I think generally, if you look at the report, most of the stuff we're saying that it has not been completed because of funding and all those sorts of questions. All of them are more research policy talking. Not your actual service delivery. The stuff is about us developing this plan, this document, and that sort of thing. Whilst when we came in, I mean, as you said, Chair, last year, it was after the election. All these plans were part of preparation before the election. I think that is important that the committee members understand that when the new administration came in, new priorities came in, the new administration, while the plans had already been processed in parallel. So therefore, that's why you see so many environments, because we had to say, we have a new minister, we have a new administration, and so on. He has some pressure and challenges he wants us to attract. So you say, okay, let's stop some of the activities so that you can redirect some of the resources. That was the first measure of the return. But the second one was 2010. The fact that there was no budget, when the new administration came, there was literally no budget in the national agenda to coordinate 2010 transport. So we're to find resources in the department to coordinate a 2010 activity. As you know, that we had a unit established in the department, and there was no budget as well for that unit to coordinate activities. They did an excellent work in part of that. So we had to find resources there, which, as you know, and it's highlighted here that we can review our budget and redirect them with their present demand, and that's precisely what happened. So we looked at some of the policy documents which could be delayed, that let's stop those police jobs, national trademark master plan, you can do it. But given the challenges and so on, with your airport strategy, we have an airport strategy. We got developed in 2006 and adopted by KPM. Yes, it was said that that airport strategy will be reviewed every 5 years, for example. But then we can buy another jet and use it to develop this one. So that, in general, if you look at this thing, there were why you will see those changes, which were improved because of the present challenges we were facing in that year. But there are, of course, challenges which have also accelerated. Like, for example, the whole procurement process in the department. These comments that we're saying we need to sort out. But if you look at some of the challenges there, that it takes longer for us to appoint people to consult them. And that is a challenge which we need to apply that knowledge. And that we need to improve on as we move forward. The third one is that some of the consultants, because there's a, and that's the issue we're dealing with in our last presentation here, that because we didn't have sufficient project management capabilities in the department, there was therefore not effective monitoring of the work of some of the consultants. So we find that they were supposed to do whatever to deliver in 6 months. By the end of the 4 months, they are far behind. And then you start reviewing and say, are they giving us the value for our money and all of those things? And so on. So it's about us building capacity to project manage, processes in the department. And which we have also highlighted as a big challenge. And you can consider this recommendation is that the commission needs to emphasize to the department that they need to build that kind of capacity. We need to make sure that our big committees and our procurement processes in general are streamlined so that there's much more capacity. And we consider that is a challenge. Then coming to what Chair was talking about on faster speed, this one is a big debate. I was hoping that you just deal with it directly. We're saying the issue about being the faster speed in the subsidy system is now being important. I thought you said direct. And I think yes. I mean, the issue is when that chap was still there before he went to commuter rail, heading the sector. I mean, there was a decision in the department that we set aside 10% for the taxi. Okay. Set aside. Well, 4 years or 5 years now, that set aside is not there. And there is an intention. There is a way. What we need to resolve as we move forward is how do we structure the taking that so that they benefit? Because that's the question. Yes. Because at the moment, the way they are structured as associations, they don't have legal entity. So as a department, we need to lead the drive of designing models of how we involve the system. And also how we involve the small bus operators who are outside of the subsidy net at the moment. And that is basically the challenge. And I think from our side, I think we want to take that challenge. So that they very soon were able to resolve that problem as to how to structure that. There was an idea which I think many of us support to convert the tech industry into proper legal entities, particularly corporate, so that they can be able to participate. But then we need to assist them in the process of corporate legal entities. And I think that's the challenge. But outside of the internal organizational issues, Chair, I just want to raise one of the almost as an appeal for the support of the committee. Let me put it that way. This whole issue around funding and funding growth. I think we have to make a case of the fact for increased funding, particularly in our three areas, our three infrastructure areas, that is rail, road, and maritime infrastructure, particularly ports. Of course, ports are not with us, but in the policy department, we have to be based around investment in ports. As we said, let's start with the road. I think we're fine at the national level. We're fine. The challenge again is on the provincial and the municipal coordinator. The challenge, as we've been saying, is not only around the fact, it's also how we manage those problems. And we believe that provinces and municipalities, and let's be frank about this, provinces and municipalities are not managing the residences they are located. That should be our starting point. And we have limited power and oversight in the national department. So they access those funds directly to the department. So we're not able, where we are now, to say that how are they using those resources? Are they using them efficiently or what? That's why I'm emphasizing not only funding in terms of the digital funding, but I'm also talking about the funding flow. There's a fundamental challenge here in South Africa with how these funds are flowing into the sector and out of the sector, even before they are used. And that's a big challenge. And I think, not that we want to centralize, we are not saying that we need to be the delivery agent at all, but we need to have a model where, as a center, we are able to influence the investment decisions in the sector. So that we determine those priorities. I mean, we talk of, so let me use this one example, the public works one. There's allocation of $3 billion to the program. And as part of the public works, it's part of the public works program. But if you were to ask me, as an accounting officer at the national level, how many jobs have been created in the sector using that $3 billion, I don't know. How many alternative methods of constructing roads, which is more labor intensive and so on. We are not driving that process, but there's $2 billion used at the moment from the national corpus for this kind of intervention. So therefore, we are arguing that we need to be at the center of this project. They can still continue allocating provincial, but there needs to be a mechanism of us driving the process from the ground. And I will appeal to the committee to really support us on this one. But of course, yes, we are saying that even though the resources which have been allocated now are not properly used, we still also need traditional resources in our roads. And I think we need to ask the community to assist us to engage so that we get an additional resource from Treasury on our program. The rail program, similarly, we believe that there's a much a very strong case for investment in our communication system, and I'm sure Lakini's team last week made the case. I think we need to we need the support of government and all other arms of the state when we argue for additional funding. We really revitalize our communication system. And I think that is crucial. And the point you are making around Chairperson, not only the issue of funding, but also sorting out the race factor in terms of rights and responsibilities. You know, there's a bit of confusion as you speak now. The issues around the fact that Transnet owns most of the infrastructure, and then they are the ones to determine access and all those things. All those things need to be resolved. And I hope that the rate policy is basically very important. And we would like the community to support that. And that's one of the recommendations I'll put forward, that we need to advance and finalize the issue, the institutional framework for the rate sector, not only funding, but also cleaning the institutions which are responsible for the sector. That's on the infrastructure side generally. So I think what is captured here in page 7, we need to move quite quickly in sorting out the infrastructure issues. About funding, about institutional realignment, and all those sorts of things. The last point I just wanted to make for now, okay, is that the monitoring and evaluation. We need to upgrade our systems of monitoring the entire sector. And I don't think we are doing that. We are not sure what the investment in various areas. We are not managing properly this migration from road to rail. And identifying interventions to make sure that happens. So the whole thing is not managed at the center correctly. So we need to therefore set up the monitoring evaluation. And then the last thing, Chair, I said the last, but now this is really the last. I think we have identified those agencies which are facing challenges, and one of them is the main challenge is around funding, and that's the cost for the road transport agency and the RAF. I think one of the issues we need to resolve, particularly on the PBRTA, is this notion that we thought that it could be funded through the user pay principle. If it were to be successful, still is successful 5 years, but at this stage, there needs to be a balance between the use of paper principle and direct allocation. And we'll appeal to the committee as we start to argue this case. So that's generally how my recommendation for the stage. Of course, if there are other issues, we have other colleagues there who can also help.
Really, I haven't seen a single one. I'm a volunteer, you know.
I'm going to tell you, because in my area, in my right area, where the schools are fast. And I'm surprised now the bicycles are finished to deliver everything. Or they're lying in provinces, it could be. And I really beg you, do it. Find out why are they in the provinces? Why are they not delivered to school? And then you will run away. Once you meet in the street, once you see me, you run away because you haven't satisfied me with the shop around. Thank you.
I'm looking at the report, and I know that today is not our day, official. But maybe after the privilege, they can put some thoughts which have the quality. Maybe one should. I think the main question that I've been asking is, particularly when the one that you have mentioned about whether there's confusion or not in India, which I think has been clarified. I'm asking what is it that the portfolio committee is trying to answer tomorrow in the hearing last week, because it could be a normal report. We just try to do everything. Could be an intervention which has any participants for this area. And I thought when up in the hearing particularly on Thursday and when I didn't want to send on Friday, the committee was already beginning to identify certain areas that are really great transport intervention. And when I listened to them, I drafted something that I thought from a committee's observation is very important. But I just want to look at the, I've broken down the little bit today. It's quite clear that there are five strategic areas in the intervention. It's quite obvious that the first one relates to the funding shortfall issue. That relates to a number of institutes that they are continuing to talk about. It's quite clear that there's an immediate issue that relates to some kind of attention. And I think that is aimed at ensuring, and I think as honorable members said, that this links to the performance of the transport sector immediately to make sure that the mandate that honorable members spoke about is realized. I think it's very clear from this topic. The second area is quite clear that we spoke about. You know, this is the role of the transport committee and the economy. Are we investing in new transport capacity? And that is different from the funding, immediate funding. And I think there is a number of issues that have been mentioned. I think the committee in our presentation about the rent program, but the new program, the high speed railway, the port, and all of those things. How it's going to deal with those, including roads. How we're going to fund all of those issues, and what that is the second area about capacity to meet investment in transport capacity to meet future demand. In our system. And thirdly, it's quite clear that for the discussion about making sure that the number of legislative and quality measures are adopted to facilitate both the rate, and I think I heard that there was some kind of deadline to say when we have that, I think that's one of the issues. The fourth area was about the issue of institutional arrangement. I think the Honorable State has raised that issue about both in the court. In the hearing today about those not being efficient, I think the DG felt that the regulator went on an infrastructure to own those sort of issues. And of course, finally, there was the issue, and I'm just adding that the here, I think the committee raised the issue of data access for the market. Here I'm referring to the number of things, the past half is the issue. So that's not even it is covered this one. And there was an issue of the rural access road, which I think my friend Mazir Ali, I think that it came out very strongly in that presentation. And of course, the broad-based issue that is there. So I think for the committee to deliberate and say, what is it that is trying to convey? Is it in certain specific areas that is the past? change. And this is what I'm observing from the report. So I may be wrong in terms of what we're talking about. I'm looking at that to ask you question. Now, say if I may quickly go back to when I look at the report and what I adjusted and the committee's observation, and I just return it just to really quickly say to what my observation here and how it moves, it may possibly mean to the committee's observation here says, of course, we start about the role of transport. When you have the case for transport and funding, and you don't talk about this role, then you're going to have a problem. And I just say that transport plays a vital role in the country's economy and broader society. I mean, something that we take for granted in our everyday lives. It is a vital sector, two key sectors of the economy, and its performance or lack thereof has a huge impact on the efficiency and competitiveness of South Africa's economy. Most importantly, provision of transport infrastructure is vital to sustainable growth and development as well as potential employment creation. Transport also is a major social role through facilitating greater access to the citizens of the country, and to this end, the provision of transport infrastructure is vital in ensuring that the needs of the urban poor and the rural markets are met on a continuous basis. The committee notes, and I think if we talk about the funding, but we only speak about the underfunding, I think that there's been for the past 3 to 4 years a huge increase in transport, in the funding of transport generally. I think that we need specific to know the significant increases in transport funding from the national cut has been there. I think if you analyze the budget, you see that it moved from a very low to a particular level. However, I think the committee has noted with concern that key projects have not been completed to due to lack of adequate funding or financial resources, and that it needs to be inadequate funding for transport operations services and infrastructure provision is something that we need to deal with and raise. And that, of course, the committee, in line with what I said, notes in particular the weak financial conditions of key public transport industries falling under the transport department of public transport, and that it is critical that the department of the region executive ensures adequate funding. And I think that so that those mandates are met, and there I think that there are quite a key number of entities from the Road Decision Fund, the Independent Cost Regulator, the Passenger Rail Agency, the Cross Border, and of course the Fund Board. So when I look at the resolution, I think that it has to do with a number of things. I think the first one has been that the introduction of appropriate legislation and measures aimed at ensuring that the goal of shipping air cargo from road to rail is realized. I think that there was a deadline, I can't recall if that was 2012 that was left or 2015, I think that was wrong. Adequate levels of investment in freight rail and programming at realizing operational efficiency. Okay, if we want, we can't only be administrative in this thing. If we want to shift the freight from road to rail, it's a number of things. The one, of course, is that we could pass legislation, but if the freight rail system is not efficient, it's not the right capacity, we're not going to achieve. But also, we don't want to move every freight from road to rail. We're trying to find a delicate balance so that appropriate freight is on rail. Appropriate freight. For example, rail was built for bulk cargo, bulk movement of freight, not the small freight. But you don't want also to take low volume cargo into rail, because again, you're not realizing efficiency. So I think that is so if you say that you want to shift from road to rail by a particular time, you take the appropriate steps, I think that's very important. But I think that we also need to talk about increasing levels of capacity and of operational efficiency on the plane part of it. 30 chair, I think that we spoke about the salary in the process for the acquisition of new modern rolling stock for passenger rail. I think we said that by 2013, 2014. We spoke here about the buses. We don't think the buses are number of, there are three elements to that. The first phase of the BE, I think the BE is consumer the narrow BE, the second phase is the busing. But I think, as members said, it didn't transform the system. The first thing, there are three things that I think are very important for about the structure of the bus. The first one is to optimize the subsidy system. And the subsidy for the system, it achieves the goals that government has set. And so optimizing the subsidy, but secondly, making sure that we provide frequent public transport services in the rural area. I think that is very important. And of course, the broader empowerment goals in line with the transport the frequency issue. I think that we also spoke about in our own presentation, we spoke about the issue about the long distance travel and the spaces that you seem to be. On the one hand, the transition towards high-speed railway is going to be very key for the future of long distance. And I think that if you look at the one, we need to ensure that appropriate planning and framework as well as the city is undertaken without taking today into that. Currently, it is an intervention, but we need to take it to the next level and to show that we're taking a lot of perspectives. Even if you start with high speed today, you're not going to have it today, you're going to have it in 8, 12 years' time. But what must be done today so that we begin to do all of that work? I think that's what it is. And here, I think in the short term, we spoke about the need to ensure that the continued viability of our long distance rail service is continued. So for me, when I look at trying to group, but ultimately the question is, what is it that the committee wants to tell the half tomorrow? Is it just the normal course of reporting on the financial reporting, or is it a strategic intervention? And if it's a strategic intervention, I think then you should look at those resolutions that have been raised by members, can be grouped under those areas where the committee wants to intervene. Then in that way, I think that it becomes an intervention rather than a normal report. So I know it's not my call, but I'm speaking as an official advising the leadership to consider some of the issues. Thank you.
Just to explain why it's against and to decide why it was important to have certain transport agencies represented in this meeting. Why it was also important to have the department sitting here today. Why we are discussing the purpose of legal transport budgetary and long-term recommendations. What we need to know here is that we are not reporting on the annual report. We will not be submitting an annual report this afternoon. And also tomorrow, the House will not be adopting annual report. What is expected of us to do is to give a strategic direction, intervention, that would inform the change in the manner in which we are allocating funding and also we are positioning for transport for a strategic intervention in the economic development of the country and the social development of the country. That is what is expected of us. So, when we were engaging with the entities and the department, we had an opportunity of asking the usual questions that we ask. which are more to do with the performance, which are more to do with the usual thing. But today, we are expected to take that information, which is why it is in this form of the report, and then say, if we were asked to start all over again, we have spent the 2 days reflecting on how we have been doing things. We are now being called upon to rethink the way we have been doing things. What are the key strategic issues that we would want to input on? What would make the Department of Transport and the entity provide a better service in South Africa? That is what we are asked to respond to tomorrow. Of course, we would not be blind on how things have been happening in the department and put in this report. But this report also assists us to say there are strategic areas that require more funding. There are strategic areas that require a different way of doing things. Like the DG has mentioned, we are not failing to achieve or unable to achieve what we want to achieve only because of lack of funding. In some situations, we are failing what we are supposed to be achieving, in achieving what we're supposed to be achieving, on the basis of how we are structured. And we need to stick to that. We are also unable to achieve with it what we're supposed to be achieving, not because of how we are structured, and also not because there are no funds, but because we lack a national model. We lack a national model, and we would need to develop that model. And that issue has been identified mainly in the area of the road infrastructure in this country. A painful situation is a situation where we know for the fact that municipalities don't have a revenue capacity. They also don't have the required engineering force. But we still believe that the roads in Mthatha need to be maintained. Because Zimbabwe M municipal road, when we know that the Mthatha local municipality doesn't have a revenue base that will enable them to do that. Let alone the infrastructure. Had the Langvalo upon, there is not a single engineer like I must follow up. They depend on Ugu, and Ugu sometimes would take an engineer from the Hyderabad coast here to Umzwabandi. For Umzwabandi to be able to plan on what to do on the road infrastructure in Umzwabandi. And Umzwabandi doesn't have a revenue base. So those are the things that the DG is talking about today. Given those conditions, what is it that we can then recommend as this portfolio committee to change that situation? Is it possible for all the municipalities in this country to come up with plans of their own and develop models? Or we would have that coordinated and done at a national level, and then we give them a template with a developed model, speaking even to the funding and the resources that are required, the human resources that are required to implement the model. Can we have all the municipalities planning and developing models on their own? The answer is no. We know the answer is no. So, I think that we should take NAMA recommendations and also to assist the process, because we want to move apart recommendations are sure we did it our panel, then to keep it in because the committee secretary is writing the minutes and at the same time producing a report, and it's going to be very, very difficult. As well as the recommendations that are coming from the CEO Yabakasa, I buy funds so that at the end of this meeting, we are then putting all those recommendations into our food, into our bond. These are the recommendations that we are going to be making in this report. But I want to come to the issue of what the DJ always says when I talk to him, even if he's not here in the meeting. This makes me understand the challenges. He would always start by saying, the problem is the Department of Transport is that it is a policy-making department. And we need to turn that around and make and give that department the power to implement and coordinate issues. Because if you end up by making a policy, you can have the policy issue. By 2013, 80% of the heavy freight should be moved from the road to rail. But if the implementation of that doesn't reside with you, the policy would remain a policy in the implementation. So we need to find a way of giving more power. We are not centralizing, but we are giving more power to the department to actually make things happen. But I also think we would say, if we don't recommend as this portfolio committee that South Africa adopt the railway transportation as the backbone of transport in South Africa, people will not understand, Treasury will not understand as to why we are pushing for investment in the rail infrastructure. Because unless we pronounce the backbone of transportation is rail, then other modes of transport are playing a complementary role to rail. I also think we would add, a lot has been said about the degrading road infrastructure. Therefore, we need to also prioritize and recommend as this committee the funding of the road infrastructure recovery plan, the road infrastructure protection through overloading control, as well as the road infrastructure maintenance fund, plan, and model. But also, putting it over the structure is mentioning a very, very important issue. The issue of making everybody understand the role of transport as a whole. The role of the transport department. It plays an important role in the development of the economy. There is no investment that will happen in underdeveloped areas unless we deal with issues of transport infrastructure. But also, railway transport is more to do with public accessing facilities, whether it's work-related facilities or public-related facilities, going to the doctors, going to the hospitals, going to schools, all those things. Then the work financial position of key entities also needs to come out, because we cannot mandate our entities to fulfill a particular mandate. Then, think our negative. But I also want to point out to the area of council the issue of us acquiring new boats and trains. And this issue has been also raised by the taxi industry. What's left in the taxi recapitalization policy and model was that we left to look at the job creation within the country that would have come with the sector recapitalization, which would have enabled us to establish manufacturing plants and other industries to deal with issues of the job creation. We have an industrial policy in the country. If OCEO was a plaster, if on a new trade, those are billions. That would be spent in that. We would want that to be done within the development of a railway transportation industry development, which looks at manufacturing of those things happening in South Africa and assembling of those trains happening in South Africa. Linking that to the entire value chain, because what we saw in China in terms of the raw material that is used to manufacture plastic in the AMA trade, we have that raw material in South Africa. We have the magnesium in South Africa. We have the iron ore in South Africa. We have the steel in South Africa. We have aluminium in South Africa. It would therefore be also important to begin to talk of a railway industry development plan in South Africa, not to take a train plan. And link that to job creation and also development of underdeveloped areas. We started in from Beijing through IPAS to visit a factory that is manufacturing trains. It was a 4-hour ride by bus from Beijing. In Beijing is the capital city. An economic hub. But Chinese government took a decision to say the factory that is manufacturing the train and the factory that is manufacturing the components that are used in assembling the train is in a rural town that is underdeveloped. To force the development to happen. In South Africa, there is this tendency with the air. You only put AMA manufacturing plants to already developed areas, as if where there is Durban today, there wasn't once a forest. And where there is Johannesburg today, there wasn't once a forest. And if, when we close our eyes, we see a forest where Johannesburg is, surely, we could have a similar system in Harding where I was born in Monday, because the underdeveloped municipalities have got more government-owned land, which makes it easier for investment to take place, because AMA investors want to invest in a government-owned land, where it would be easy to deal with issues of land than to invest in a privately owned land where you still have to purchase the land. So our issues of development have to take that into consideration. As for you, you have to go and you have to invest who discussing the people of South Africa, Simon Mbeki? Where are the presidentially poverty nodal points? So that we can then begin to develop those areas. If all our trouble is a presidential poverty nodal point, let us find a plan of saying, how will that area benefit from the development of its railway transportation in South Africa? So I think Ubuntu, that is the approach of Singa Ubuntu here. But also, Uma Sensei Villa Paya on Thursday and Friday, we sometimes get overwhelmed by issues. Over to the level of power, the under expenditure and over expenditure and all those things. And overlook the strategic positioning of the entities that are there. Like the cross-border road transport agents. The strategic position in Suna, who CEO was on agreement, got a mandate, this mandate that has never been foreseen, a very strategic mandate yesterday. And how, and also remind us of the funding model that he has presented to us, so that we can then begin to put that into our recommendation. We will come also to you, Ryan, because those are very key strategic responses and recommendations that we will give to you in our report.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I wish our president might come to this meeting to end up saying anything to achieve their recommendation.
Yes. We work at the
okay. I would not be wrong, really. I think the essence for us is to say, when cross-border road transport agents was formed, the thinking was that this would be an agency that would not just be responsible for the issue of police and law enforcement in respect of cross-border road transport. But this agency was meant to be the driver of the agenda of harmonizing road transport systems and policies across the entire region. And to this day, there is nobody who is fulfilling that need, because cross-border has never had the capacity to do this when in fact cross-border was established to drive that particular agenda. Secondly, there is nobody who is championing, from a transport perspective, issues of regional integration. We just learned that the president is going to ask, or has asked Minister Manuel, actually to be a champion on his behalf in respect of issues pertaining to regional integration. But from a transport perspective, we still have a central role to actually drive those issues and to make sure that it's known exactly what it is that needs to, in terms of program, specific program that needs to be undertaken to drive that regional integration. And I think historically over the last 12 years, the agency has never really lived up to its mandate. And as a consequence, I think we've been sitting with a situation where the agency is underperforming, not just in terms of its program, but in terms of the strategic value that as a country we could be deriving from having an agency like the cross-border. We think that the issue of regional integration and the development of the continent is as important as issues of developing internal capacity. As a country, we are located miles and miles away from our major market. And if there is one market that is within our reach, is to realize SADC as a market for South Africa. And from an economic growth perspective, that growth that will give us the means to be able to attend to some of the attendant internal programs, like the establishment of new transport capacity going forward. We need a market as a country. And SADC is sitting right here, is a ready market for us. All we need to do is to optimize the infrastructure, the link, and utilize that market optimally. We demonstrated through a presentation we gave that day with the actual pipeline that show you how much is already happening. I would want to remind the committee members of this slide. This is change that's already taking place this is the direct growth that we're deriving in South Africa on the monetary level, because a lot of the developmental challenges we have as a country require money for us to be able to make those interventions. And we say, you're sitting with an agency that potentially could be driving this agenda on behalf of this government, that's enabling us to address some of our immediate social developmental challenges. Therefore, it should be a mistake for us to lose sight of that inflow that must come in to give us the revenue that will enable us to do that, to buy that neuronic stock that we're talking about. So from that perspective, say, I just want to contextualize the issue in that way. I think specifically...
I want to simplify what you are saying to me, so that we are able to link what was said by the CEO of Qatar when he said the transport should make everybody understand investing in transport to actually help the country to grow economically. And just take this what has been said by the CEO of the cross border. The movement of this trade from South Africa to other countries, which indicates two things. South Africa is an economical hub. The underdeveloped part of Sudan spend their money in South Africa. And if then we were to position the cross border to improve the flow of the transport from those countries inside South Africa and outside South Africa, we would then realize that goal of a South Africa that is an economic hub of the SADC region. That also talks to the infrastructure, and the fact that the SADC approved the introduction of the standard railway bridge to facilitate the fast moving trade continental. So that is what we are saying, we shift its budget to actually address issues of economic development and social development. Say for the Malaysia, we admit Europe was from underperforming sovereign. Here we admit it because I address some issues with the
government. Okay. So the other thing that if I may invent and be brave is to say that one of the things that should ask in terms of the recommendations that we want to make is not to have a long list of endless issues which will make us, all the issues will then lose impact. If we can centralize or focus on the four or five issues that were mentioned by the city, I think that will help to centralize and give more impact in terms of the recommendations that the committee will be making. Because in so saying, you'll then be able to isolate those five key intervention areas where intervention needs to be made and be able to motivate sufficiently for each of them, rather than to have a list of 13, 20 resolutions that will lose impact in terms of what you're trying to drive it. And I think those have been isolated quite well. I wouldn't want to repeat that. And I think you also have a sense of it. So that's the only recommendation I make. Thank you, Chair.
Sure. I hope I'm even offered as eloquent as the gentleman who has preceded me, particularly that chap who used to be public transport. But let me just pose a simple question we have to answer here. I mean, no matter how we wrap it up, what is the cost of not having the institutions working properly? Because the cost of making the institutions work properly is relatively cheap. I mean, as an example, we asked for 20 million rand, which is a lot of money. If we make a mistake in the decisions on the Transnet tariff, it's in the region of 200 million rand. So the difference between what we asked and what we received was about 12, 13 million rand. But a mistake would cost the country 10, 20, 200 times that of the time. So we have to be careful. We have to ask ourselves the question, if the CBRTA is not there, if Prasa's rail service is not there, if the roads aren't there, if the port regulator is not there, would it make a difference? And what is the size of that difference? And then consider whether the request for funding are valid or not. But just funding alone, to echo what both the chair and the DG said, just funding alone won't solve the problem of the port regulator, for example. We need capacity. And to do that, we need one thing. We need the approval to appoint staff that you currently don't have. So those are the two critical issues for us. But there are a range of policy issues outstanding, and I mean, a simple thing could be how nuanced is a policy dealing with pricing in the port sector? Because the regulator, without the correct instruments and capacity, can make all the right decisions. But the effect of the decisions are meaningless as far as the country is concerned. Because if the cost of operations in the port, from an infrastructure perspective, goes down because the regulator keeps the pricing down. But the inflation rate at which transport service providers in the port environment, be that international shipping companies, international freight forwarders and ships agents or whatever, if they maintain the rate of their increase of pricing, effectively the regulator has had no impact. And all that has happened is the regulator has taken 200 to 300 million rand a year off the balance sheet and income statement of a public entity and passed it along to a private entity, which is a shipping company. So the balance between those interests and what's in the interest of the state is a policy decision which must come from the executive and the legislature articulating. Because the roots of those answers lie within the manifestos that whatever party is a ruling party articulates. What is the emphasis? What are the imperatives that the country has? What is critical? Because it is senseless if we do a whole range of things which sound really nice on paper, but the net effect doesn't come down to, for example, Harding or Kokstad or any other, Zana, etc. Mamelodi, Salt River, which was playing. And if there's anybody I left out, the Yardo, the Sheffo, I'm trying to cover everybody. So the key thing is this, is that, there is engagement around the growth part, etc., and I feel really, usually when I come here, people say I'm crying. I feel a lot better now. My tears are dry from what I've been hearing around the table. And one of the key things is that we've got to get back to the fundamentals. If it doesn't bring an advantage to people, and I mean ordinary people, not people like myself in the schools, etc., there is no value in our society. Because the net benefit must be to the poorest people in our society and to the society as a whole. So, I mean, there's a whole bunch of things the regulator should be doing. It should be intervening in how SMMPs engage in the port sector. The rate of triple B, double E. There's a whole range of things that should be. People still cannot get into the port operating environment. There's a closed list of people that currently do that. And the way in which licenses and leases and our ability to intervene in that is monitoring, we can't start those processes and then do it once and then step away and then we can only afford to do it in 2 years' time again and then step away or whatever. It has to be a continuous process of ensuring that all the instruments of the state and all the policy instruments of the state are coherent in the area which we operate. So for us, I mean, all the things which have been said before, what amendments they apply to us, but the key thing for us is a correct level of funding, not too much, not too little, but also the ability to establish capacity in the organization and some policy clarity on certain issues. And let's take an example. Transnet has got a CapEx program every year which runs in the region 10, 20, 30 billion rand. Does the state and the Department of Transport sit down and kick off on that CapEx and assume it's appropriate? Is it the right thing, in the right place, at the right time? Is it being done in the right manner? And these are all quite complex questions. But the institutional framework which was raised by both the DG, the chair, and Honorable the Treasurer, that institutional structure will create those processes that will define that. And then we can stick within whatever the context. There may be a new, in the next manifesto, there may be a new nuance or something we need to look at and deal with. There may be a catastrophe to the north of us. We may suddenly find ourselves an additional 5 million people inside of the country. How do we deal with those kinds of issues? And how do each of us play our role in that? So I have indicated what is important. I hope I've managed to not embarrass my two previous by lowering the standards of the
would you write down what the template and have them on to the CEO or certain traffic to have to be done in my
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, let me declare interest over here that I have no interest in competing with anybody as far as eloquence is concerned. I'm going to try and take it as it is. Madam Chair, thanks for the opportunity. Look, I'm going to make a couple of suggestions over here. I'm not going to cover the ground which has already been covered in terms of some of the institutional arrangements. I think if we look at it, is that, and this is not meant as any kind of adverse criticism of my colleagues in the department, but I don't think that we make use of our current capacity within the agency to its full extent. I don't believe that we do that. We try and, try and sometimes duplicate our efforts between the agencies and the department, which I think is totally unnecessary. It is totally destructive in terms of the unnecessary competition that it creates. Totally unnecessary. We need to understand that at the end of the day, whatever you call our minister, your shareholder, your political leader, or whatever label you want to put onto the minister is the one who gives the direction. Not only give the direction, but instruct us to carry out certain imperatives. Full stop. Yeah, of course we can sit and debate it, and some of us do from time to time. But at the end of the day, the decision been made, and we have to implement that. And I think the department must learn, with due respect, and we will help them along, that how to make sure that they use us more appropriately in terms of the implementation. I have a good example, and let me pick on our port regulator. I don't know how many of us have actually realized what a powerful body to have under your department in terms of using the port regulator. So it is the duty of this committee to make sure that the port regulator is empowered. And then through that way, you'd be surprised the amount of influence that you will be able to bear in terms of all the nice things we want to happen in our ports. The fact that the port itself is owned by another department is immaterial. Look as to where the influence and the power base lies. It lies within this ministry. It doesn't lie in the other ministry over there. You know, I mean, if our port regulator doesn't behave, you know, one of the things that, and I have to make use of this opportunity, Madam Chair, and now you know we make use of opportunities. I had a question sent to me yesterday from an honourable member after my presentation on Friday as to how we're going to make sure that people pay tolls, you know, if they don't have a debt. Very simple. We've created a new job in the career the manufacturing of baseball bats and people to go and collect our money. But we can do the same thing with our court regulator if it doesn't need. I use that as an analogy. But the point I'm making is that we've got these instruments available with us already within our department, and we need to make use of those institutions already. And for instance, if for argument's sake, and I see him here over there, the reference to the road infrastructure, and this is on page 7, recovery plan was drafted, etc., but we couldn't proceed with the unavailability of funds. Going back to the point that Riyadh just made, I mean, that's a small amount of money. Come to the agency, I'm sure we can do it. It's not illusion. And maybe you'll find that we have the capacity within the agencies, amongst ourselves, to be able to do that work without having to go and outsource it. I think that is what I'm offering. That is what we need to do. Then, Madam Chair, as far as this committee itself is concerned, now, sometimes some of us make this career limiting suggestion, but here goes. I think that this committee should re-examine at which stage in this particular process does it make the intervention. I think the current stage where we're talking about is a bit too late. We need to make this intervention, and I don't know always the time like that. Unfortunately, you know, it just seems to happen, and I just make sure it happens without bringing the time, and maybe the DG will be able to help me.
One, this e-committee should get presentations from all of us as, as entities, nearly said entertainers. The entities, you need to get the presentation from us just before we make our submissions to the department, we then take it to National Treasury. It's at that stage that you need to look at it. I think that was in July or August. Yeah? That is when you need to first look at it. So we need to come and tell you that. Okay? Then you need to engage with your counterparts in National Treasury before that decision is made to say transport in the different votes, etc., is getting so much. Because by the time we come to this stage, I can tell you what Minister Gordon is going to tell you. Sorry, it's a bit too late to leave it for next year. And it probably is too late because education has now got its cut, everybody else got its cut, and we're coming in too late. So the timing of the intervention of this committee is very, very crucial as to when to do it. And maybe we just want to rethink on the timing of that particular one. The next thing is that, and I accept, and of course we have to respect it, and whatever this committee may turn around and say that the intervention that it wants to make at the other spheres of government, we need to be mindful, and I'm sure all of us in this room are mindful of the constitutional imperative of such a decision. But again, you know, there are means and ways, like the example I gave with the port regulator, as to how one can make that kind of intervention. Yeah? We at the Road Summit, and turning my attention to roads, at the Road Summit, we decided that rather than turning around and saying to the provinces, you know, how they will spend their money, what we'll do is that, if memory serves me correctly, is that we're going to engage as a Department of Transport, together with the support from the entity, we're going to engage at two levels in the provinces. One, the departments which look after the roads in the provinces, and the provincial treasuries. If we need to convince the provincial treasuries to turn around and say, please allocate a little bit more money to the roads. And we also said that for the provincial roads departments, etc., to be able to do that, we will offer to manage the asset management system. Not the collection of the data. As far as the collection of the data is concerned, and if I recall, we suggested this way back in February as well at our workshop, that the collection of the data will still be done by the different spheres of government, where we will assist it in terms of how to make sure that the quality of the data which has been collected is consistent throughout the country. That's all we're looking for, some form of harmonization of the collection of data on the thing. But we will then manage it as SANRA on behalf of that and pass it on to the provinces that through the Department of Transport. So we can again then make that kind of intervention through this committee at a provincial listing treasury level to say why we need to be able to turn around and allocate more money to the road, because we have done this based on a scientific basis as opposed to walking the street and doing it emotionally when I first see the first pothole in my street. There is a manner, and we know that we can do that. Then there's the issue around the expanded mandate of SANRA. Now, with due respect, you know, I mean, we're beating around the bush. Like the DG said about the broad-based economic empowerment, that's the honest. We've agreed at the summit that we're going to expand the mandate of SANRA to look after about 38,000 kilometers of road in terms of the strategic road network of South Africa, what we then term the primary road network of South Africa. Hey, it's May. I'm sitting near the end of October. I've not seen any movement on this. I've not heard of any interventions being made or engagement with us. With the result that we've got two disasters going to happen right now. One is probably in the process of happening in our country, and the second one is about to happen. And the second one, let me talk about that first, is in my, you know, in my province. The tenders are to be able to go around doing PPP. You must look at the tenders. There's no documentation, there's absolutely nothing, and what are you going to get up? Yes, and I'm not patting ourselves on the back. For some reason or the other, the province has decided to discard SANRA and not be able to make use of the knowledge that we have. it will be of course contrary to Regulation 16 of the PFMA as well. So that's going to be end up a fight with the province and National Treasury, which is totally unnecessary. Absolutely unnecessary for us to be engaging like that, but that is what the province has decided to do. The manner in which our dear province in the Free State, you know, has recently been putting up its tenders for its work, for its road construction work, etc., leaves a lot to be desired when you talk about deferred payments. Has anybody in the province done the calculation to see what the cost of a deferred payment means and what it is going to be? Now, this is what I believe that this, the role of this committee is largely to make this intervention to be monitoring. Let the expenditure which is taking place and not wait for this piece of paper to come in the annual report and the AG to find out to say that that was, wasteful and fruitless, you know. The head soldier massage is always still not fruitless. Won't repeat that. But that is what the committee should be looking at to say, so how effective is that expenditure taking place? So it's not just the monetary value, the volume of money, but how effective is that expenditure taking place? Because otherwise, if it's not becoming effective, we're not achieving our objective. And that is a way that we can try and convince the provincial treasury to set aside money for that maintenance fund that we keep on talking about. Because you've got to link the availability and the money that they will set aside with the actual needs and the roads which we can show them through a scientific base, a research-based decision-making process as to why they need that money, rather than just turning around and looking for a whole lot of new money, which won't always be available. But we've got to be realistic about it. We've got to really be realistic about it, because all the other sectors require it. And my last point that I need to make is that we need to be able to assist, I keep on shooting myself in the foot now over here, the rail sector. We need to make sure that the rail sector is appropriately funded, and whether the rail sector then has the ability to be able to fund it through borrowings or not, with limits, with checks and balances put in over there. There are checks and balances through the regulations in terms of the PFMA and in terms of SunRoad Act, in terms of what we can borrow and what we can't borrow, and the procedures that we have to follow before we can do that. There's a whole lot of checks and balances that we can that are in place already. How we can empower in a similar way, you know, process to be able to do this approach. If you're going to rely entirely on the fiscal, folks, my grandchildren, which I don't have, my grandchildren won't see the results that we want to see on our commuter rail system. With due respect to what you want to do, thank you for listening to everything.
If I may, I just want to reiterate what point that Sir has made. And I want to make reference to page 5 of the report. It talks about 10 rock repairs for rail pollution. And it says the department has budgeted $2.5 million for the development of 10 rock repairs for the rail pollution. So I want to submit to the power that we have the capacity within our own agency develop terms of reference for any rail policy for this country called zero debt. And if we have to spend $2.5 million to develop terms of reference for a rail policy, I'm glad it didn't happen in this one from the sound of it. But the point is to really just emphasize the point that Nazira has made to say, if the department were to utilize this agency even half better than it's doing at the moment, there's a lot more that the department would be able to do and for far less. Because one of the challenges that the department has, and which is not showing in any of these reports, is that the department simply doesn't have people who can do what needs to be done. And that's one of the biggest challenges. I don't care how much money the department might have, but without the capacity of the people who are able to do what needs to be done, the department will still not be able to do that. And my own agency is not one of those that can be able to assist, because we are rebuilding there as well. But I'm talking about established agencies, your airport company, your sunrise and so on, you've got lots of highly capable, highly knowledgeable and experienced people that should be utilized more effectively by the department. and I got back to him for that point.
Then, I am glad that this point will be raised, and that is another reason for us to bring you in as the entire family during the process of planning and during the presentation process, the annual report hearing. But I want to go to the point of that, and I am glad that you have mentioned this point. I want to go to the point of that. Been raised by CEO Sandra. The issue of the working as a family and appreciating that a witness of capacity within the department or any of the entities can actually be overcome by forming a working relationship between the entities or between the department and the entities that has got strength in some instances of other entities. I think that that's that we should be taking that approach. But I also want to raise an issue of ignoring some of the policies that are there in the country to ensure we work, we move away from the culture of working in silence. I'm saying this because Comrade Nabil, we are under the interfere among peers, other peers of government and their power. Ukulima Ngo government was Namibia, Ukulima Ngo government was South Africa, Peter Kumi, Ngo government was my homeland when we have a one government. And to facilitate a situation of looking at ourselves as one government, we even went to an extent of putting in place an intergovernmental relations framework. And also to say, now I hear some in what CEO was in terms of the fears of government and their powers and functions. You centralize some of the things. We need to be clear here of what is it that we see as a hindering factor in terms of the powers and functions, and how we can creatively overcome those hindering factors. I did not hear us saying that we take over our powers, but we are saying it should be the responsibility of the Department of Transport at national level to actually plan and lead the country on how to intervene and respond to the issue of transport development in the country. That responsibility cannot be outsourced to any other sphere of government because the planning has to happen. The plan, yet local, the provincial government must fit the master plan at national level. We cannot devolve those powers to lower structures, cities, because by attaining responsibility, then national department is not going to plan for the entire infrastructure in the country. Yet, we look upon that department in terms of having better resources and a better understanding, because even they run a helicopter, they are looking at the country from a helicopter perspective. We have been to other countries and Simonian would say, when you plan in that way, you achieve better than wait for Uti. One woman to ask the master plan that everybody is speaking to. But you are also saying that implementation does not also only happen because there is a plan. You develop a master plan, you develop a strategy, but you also go further and develop the model. And we have seen that without the development of the model, nothing moves. And we are saying each Department of Transport should assume a responsibility of developing the model. That would then be piloted in certain areas and then be replicated throughout the country. Galeyondlela, you have a template of what has to happen below. Then the issue here, a consultancy-driven development approach. We would pass policies and policy guidelines, but because our consultants are the ones that are driving its development as provincial and local level, what has been agreed even at started level doesn't get implemented. We have a policy guideline like South Africa. We got led a study that was led by South Africa. Yellow volume is passed in 2023. That has not been implemented for road infrastructure development. Mainly because it doesn't help. There's a balance on the implement that policy guideline. It's actually ensuring we need to the rural road infrastructure is going low volume street road. Lava abandango greater the gravel road every time there has been a rain, Mazola. Therefore they are ignoring that because that guidance, although it was passed. And it talks about for the whole subject region, it doesn't only talk about the South Africa. So what we are also saying with the end, let us at least our policies that are more developmental oriented and show with the end. The department at national level develop some models that are going to demonstrate the implementation and pilot the policies that have been agreed upon.
Thanks very much. I just wanted to make this analogy because I can sense some agreement that the department should indeed use its agencies more. But I didn't want the honourable members to lose sight of this. You see, Madam Chair, if there were two households and one household needed help, it means that you are helping someone who is there, who otherwise is running their own household. Helping doesn't mean that the one being helped absolutely has no capacity. So I just wanted to make that point because I think it's important to understand that. If you make an example, for instance, agencies would assist, but there is a need for the department itself to have its own capacity, for instance, in the area of roads. You will not find a professional engineer at the department at the moment. So when we talk about this capacity to coordinate implementation, it actually means that the various aspects of the department need a particular type of skill going forward if you're going to coordinate implementation. I think that point needs to be made. The second point, Chair, which is probably risky because the DG hasn't mandated me to say this. I mean, I concede that whatever recommendations are made, it's probably late now and we're conducting for very narrow, limited scope. But in this topic, which is on 7, at the top left, the topic on road infrastructure recovery plan and the maintenance fund, I mean, I think that the Council, Madam Chair, and other members, is facing a challenge around issues of job creation. And I think the department could DG could give assistance to start that fund or to find special focus of the funding. It could actually come back to this committee with something that answers the question of how can you do road maintenance while addressing the challenge of creating decent jobs. And then deal with that in a manner that responds across the country. Because at the moment it doesn't. I mean, you have pockets of excellence here and there, and you have a country that is emerging out of a recession. I mean, I heard recently that even a bank is retrenching people. So more and more the challenge of saying, how do we maintain infrastructure but create jobs while we're doing that, and decent jobs at that, could be an assignment that could be platformed on that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. The house starts at 4 o'clock, and we are expected to take on this report by 8 o'clock. And I would then want us to reflect on what we are recommending. And then move to the adoption of the report with amendment. And also ensure that before the statement, that it becomes in a way of ensuring that I think it's okay. That is how I would propose the move forward. And I would want to thank all present participants for the contribution that we have made, and also take the advice that the CEO from Canva will say, maybe we should be having before the evening, and I think that the presentation should be in future, we meet like this before the report are submitted to the Council of the General Forum. So we then be able to impact the whole of the facility. But I also don't put it, the report here, the budget review and recommendation report. I would have loved to see it is better than it is now. Because it reflects mainly the negative issues and if there are no positive achievements. And I wouldn't want everybody to think that there is nothing that has been achieved. All that is there in terms of what they feel to be is that we have failed to do this, we have failed on our department has not done this. The entities have not done this. I don't know if it was possible to incorporate at least the highlights. Because there are highlights. Okay. Are there committed observations? The observation here is that once we have assessed this thing, all our entities, I'm qualified for the department, that is a group of the organization. But also, we have made a tremendous contribution in improving the transport infrastructure in South Africa, particularly in preparation for the 2010. And also what we have managed to do was that both the department and the entities have managed to identify key areas of strategic intervention in the delivery of the transport in South Africa. And they have changed the strategic plan to actually focus on this. That to me is a very important recommendation to me. But those strategic interventions also are speaking to for this means it transport to what it is the key economic development driver. That is what transport is. Kumamshabe Masiti has been a member, man. It's the key economic development driver. Without that, the transport, we don't develop the economy. So those are the observations. And then on the negative side, our observations are related to issues of the capacity within the entities to deliver in line with their mandate. But also the funding that is also less than that lack of funding that would enable the entities to fulfill their mandate. So those are two different issues. The capacity to fulfill in terms of human resources and the structure that we need to have. And then the funding that does not match the mandate, which we then want to address. And then all these other recommendations are then speaking to those and the issues that is the area that FASA is then incorporating in our report. So is there any member that would want to say anything? I guess very much this member mainly because this Babaza is very good in identifying the positive area. When all of us are fighting, Babaza will come very cool and identify the positive area. So Babaza, we are kind of focusing on that. Because I don't want us to come out of this meeting frustrated. What we are doing is not appreciated. And also the challenges. Because it is also important to see the highlights of the report to my observation. We inherited a country that had a degraded infrastructure, the railway infrastructure, the road infrastructure, a country that had a transport that is not integrated. Because that is also very, very important. What is the magnitude of the problem that we are trying to address?
I do want to appreciate your point that you raised. We are often in the same ship, which I fully agree with. That if we don't impress upon not just Treasury, but Parliament itself, because I don't know that Parliament really realizes just how important transport is and how big an industry it can be. If we could impress upon Parliament and Treasury the importance of really looking into proper funding of transport and develop it into an industry. We are not going to address a whole lot of other issues. I'm sitting here, Jefferson, and I see before me the industrial policy action plan that is just passed by Parliament. And I'm saying to myself, but how do you implement that policy without transport? And if the transport industry is not seen as an industry, and it is funded as such, and it's developed as such, there's nothing that is going to move in the country. Absolutely nothing. Neither food, nor people, nor economic growth. So, and I think that listening to here today, from last week, culminating to today, to actually speaking to that. And it is one point that we need to take to Parliament to say, if we say that transport is the heartbeat or the key driver, economic driver, then we must fund it, we must increase its human capacity so that it responds. Not to suggest that the human capacity that is there is not adequate, but certainly there are, for instance, make no apologies of the fact that the human capacity, for him to turn around, that needs to be seriously looked at. And I'm certain most other agencies would say the same in one way or another. So it's a question of both human capacity and familial capacity that has got to be put into. But critical to that as well, and the point of that has been made, we cannot look at transport, at the transport department at the national level and say, it must develop policy and then the provinces must run on their own for five transport issues are concerned and the municipalities must do the same. Otherwise, sifana nabantu mangene abashova kalula kodwa abashova eduzane abashovi theyakuqhubeka. So that's what I wanted to say, but I don't want to sound negative. There is a whole lot of positive things that can be said here. Truly which are achievements. And I think I made the point last week that the fact that largely there's been clean audit is a huge plus, and it has got to be encouraged. So, Chair, I think I must.
Thank you. Are there any comments from the members? And honorable again the conduct.
that something that people are thinking. No one has